Start your engines and join me in the new mobile game, RuPaul's Drag Race Superstar. May the best superstar win. Available now.
In a world full of straight people, aren't you glad there's WOW Presents Plus, the number one place in the world to see Drag Race? And so much more. Subscribe to WOW Presents Plus. Still only $4.99. Subscribe today as streamed on TV.
I'm Matt McConkie. I'm a writer, performer, and host of this podcast about And Just Like That. But now that we've recapped both seasons of the show, I couldn't help but wonder, should I go back and cover the original Sex and the City? The answer, of course, is no, but I can't be stopped, so every week I'll be joined by my very own Mirandas and Charlottes to unpack an episode or movie of their choosing. We're doing Sex and the City Roulette with extra Samantha and none of the Che. And just like Matt, welcome to the show. Folks, asking me to choose my favorite episode of Sex and the City is like asking me to choose my favorite child, in that I definitely have one, even if I don't always realize it. And I'm pretty sure that it is season 4, episode 8, My Motherboard Myself. And the logline from HBO on this is, Carrie learns a valuable lesson after her computer crashes, Samantha searches for an elusive climax, and Miranda's personal crisis leads everyone to see things in a new light, aka the one where Miranda's mom dies, written by the great Julie Rottenberg and Lisa Zeritsky, who are also, of course, EPs on it, just like that, and captures everything we love about this show and our girls, hilarious and devastating, and puts friendship right at the heart of things. It is a perfect episode of television, and speaking of perfection, we're going to start this episode of the podcast, just like this episode of the show, a true New York power lunch. I'm just going to catch up with two busy, big city gals on the go. First, he is a screenwriter who I had the pleasure of working with on Heathers and the co-host of the Sexy Unique podcast, Kerry O'Donnell. Hello.
Hello. Hi, Matt.
Hi. Thank you for being here.
So happy to be here at lunch with you.
And we are joined by the very busy actor, writer, producer, and co-founder of Open Books, which donates LGBTQ-affirming books to public libraries, Morgan Walsh. Hi.
Hi, Matt. So happy to be here. Hi, Carrie.
Hi, Morgan.
So tell...
Guys, it is a power lunch.
It really is.
It really is.
And we have to get right to it, like any true power lunch. Tell me the story of how you two met.
Well, well. Carrie, do you want to start?
We have a mutual friend who is a very amazing glue for different friend groups. Mm-hmm. And we've met a few times at dinners he and his husband have hosted. And then a friend of theirs hosted a Survivor simulation game where they have like a very big yard.
I'm just going to stop you right there. Yeah. I don't know how much of a simulation it was.
It was pretty real.
Wow.
Yeah, it felt very real, very cutthroat.
Yeah, so it was like they had this big backyard. So they hosted the games on this Saturday like 2 years ago or a year and a half ago. And it was like, I thought it was going to just be like some volleyball and like it was like 8 hours. Like we fully got lost in this game. And it came down between Morgan's husband and me.
Wow.
And he beat me. So I was the runner up. But it was an incredible, and we all, you know, I think Morgan and I thank God that our friendship survived.
Well, you're not the only one that is angry still or holding on a little bit of a resentment from that day. I mean, I don't know if you remember, but our host was the very first one eliminated, which is like, that's brutal. Mm. To invite all these people for 8 hours in your home and then...
Yeah, and also just to like playing with a bunch of gays, no
drama.
One gets more competitive and sinister and like... schemey than a bunch of gays.
It was so schemey, and that's the part I didn't prep for. Like,
no, me neither.
I was thinking like, I want, you know, I'm gonna do challenges. I did like a 5-minute plank. I don't know if you remember.
I do remember. And we also there was the thing I remember most of Morgan that day was there was a one game where I was blindfolded and a friend Chet, I think, was Mm-hmm. Morgan was in the ear of another guy who was blindfolded, and then Chet, the host's Hanks. Husband, Chet Hanks, yes, he was in my ear sort of directing me to do Jenga blindfolded.
Yes, blindfolded. And it seems easy, but it
no,
is
it
not.
Was so
oh my God,
hard.
It doesn't sound easy at all.
My okay. heart was like, I was, and I won, but my heart was, and I just remember hearing Morgan's very delicate stuff. Okay, move it over. And it was just like this whole, it was so amplified, and it was just really insane. And by nightfall, friendships were lost.
I mean, we had the full tribal council. There was a campfire where people, I mean, there's music. There's a
and
trailer.
Are you voting
cut,
each other out and forming alliances oh, yes. and stabbing each other in the back yes. and all of it? Wow.
And there's a yes. camera where you vote. So like you have yes. to look into the camera. And
you
be
hold
like,
up the thing. Yeah. No, it is.
Oh my God.
It is real. I also have a resentment from that day because I was playing, might I say, great.
You were.
Like, I was delivering on challenges. I'm solving puzzles. I'm like running fast. I'm the 5-minute plank. I was really delivering. And I was even paying attention to how I was delivering. Like, you don't want to deliver too hard, too long, mm-hmm. because then you're competition and they're going to scoot you on out of there. But they announce at some point that they're going to split us into two different teams and you switch buffs. You know, we even have the buffs.
Yeah.
The scarf thing that you wear mm-hmm. around your neck. And Matt, my husband, and I were by chance put on the same team. And I was feeling very good again about my performance. And when I say that I was really the first eliminated, I think, once the team split, because I'm married to Matt.
Wow.
And they were like, we can't have a married couple on the same team.
You were the sacrificial lamb.
Yeah.
But it's honestly probably for the best, Morgan, because if you got down to the end with him and it got ugly between you two, who knows if your marriage would have survived that survivor.
I mean, we just have to keep our priorities straight, which is clearly the game and winning.
I played honest. I have to say, I played really honest through the most of the day. And then there was one move where I stabbed my friend Chet, who was the other host, in the back. And it haunted me. He's the nicest person on earth, and it almost made me cry when it was gut wrenching, and it like it sealed my fate.
That's how you that's how you get close.
I was Kelly. Hmm. I was Kelly.
I don't know the reference, and but I believe it.
Kelly, the first runner up of First Survivor, who Sue said, if you were dying of thirst, I wouldn't give you water. Oh, wow. You're a snake.
It was, I mean, Matt, they drama across the campfire, yelling, the real true feeling of betrayal, which caught me off guard. And I've actually played again at their house. And guess who I did my one real shitty thing to?
Chet.
Oh, wow. Poor Chet.
And it sucked. And he asked me about it. He's like, but I had a really hardcore alliance with Chet's husband, Hase. Which I
Matt, you would get a kick out of Hase.
You would love him.
This sounds so terrifying to me. I don't know that it I was... would. But what I appreciate is that it's like sounds like they are similar to me, trying to just simply crawl inside their favorite TV show and live there.
Yes.
I wish we could do a Sex in the City simulation.
Survivor Day. Yeah. I mean, that's what we're doing. That's what this is.
Yeah.
So let's get inside it. Mm-hmm. You know, when I asked Carrie what episode he'd like to discuss and immediately said this one, I almost started crying just at the mention of it. The muscle memory kicked in so much. Carrie, why did you choose this one?
Well, I'm from Philadelphia, so I like that mm-hmm. that city gets some representation, even though it was mm-hmm. probably filmed in Chelsea or something. Mm-hmm. I think it's, like you said earlier, it's the best of the show all in one. It's heartfelt but not too earnest or precious, and I think it's the most Miranda's ever been. And it's Miranda at her best, at her worst, and I think it actually is Carrie's best friendship moment.
Yeah, agreed.
And I think I loved Samantha's little runner, and I loved Charlotte. Just like they all kind of did their thing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Everything, how they processed this. Charlotte went into like action, you know, parent PTA mom mode. Samantha worried about herself and like losing herself and dissociating. Carrie was just thinking about her computer. And Miranda, you know, yells at a saleswoman. And it's just like, it's them all at their most them.
Yes, totally.
And it's so perfect. And the ending is perfect.
And you are a true Sex and the City obsessive, right?
Yes.
I mean, you're named after this main character.
I was named after Carrie Bradshaw. Yeah, I mean, I rewatched the whole series in COVID because my husband had never watched it.
Wow.
And I watched everything again, and it was like...
Going home.
It was going home, but it was also like an affirmation that like it really kind of still holds up.
Yeah.
And I know there's obviously some like dated references and jokes and like things that are like cringe, but like they... I just think like they were doing more than most were at that time.
Yeah.
And like talking about these things. So I give them credit. And it was really fucking funny. And like,
oh, yeah.
I loll at that show.
Same. And I cry quite a bit, especially in this one. And Morgan, same. I think that similar to Carrie's husband, I'm just realizing that Carrie is married and I haven't even acknowledged that. Congratulations.
Matt, it's okay. Thank you.
It's been so long. So much life has
happened. I know. It's really crazy.
So, like Carrie's husband, Morgan, you not a watcher of Sex and the City.
No, and I have to say, deep shame about this. Like, I want to just, like, take a moment to say thank you, you know, because you really have let me bust through that wall. Because this show is the talk of the town, and I realized that the era that it was out was... a time in my life where I was very distracted by things and I wasn't, I didn't watch it. And so because of you and your podcast, Matt, then I started, my first exposure, real exposure to the show is And Just Like That, which is probably mind blowing and sacrilegious to people who love it's this.
Strange. Show. It is a strange way in. Yeah, for sure.
And guys, I really love it just like that. I really love it. I mean, I'm hooked. I couldn't stop watching.
It's a balm.
Yeah.
Did you ever live in New York, Morgan?
I have spent significant amount of time there, and I met my husband there, but I've not lived.
But you were sort of like, I'm sure, I don't know how young you were when the show came out, but did you ever feel like you were
there?
I was 10. Did you ever feel like you were living that like girly life?
I absolutely, the
Sex and the City girly life.
The Sex and the City girly, the friend, the girlfriends, the single life, checking in, what's the status of this and that, like absolutely, and career pursuits, 100%. So each one of them, each character resonates with me. And I want to say, like, even being new to the show, it's kind of like when you have a child, of course that child wasn't there, but you feel like that child has always been there.
Mm-hmm.
Or even that's true with our dogs. Like, I feel like we've always had our dogs. That's how I feel about these characters. I've always known them.
Yeah, it is.
I'm 100% in.
The show was made for you. Truly. Yeah. And it's strange that you would block that blessing for so long, but I'm glad you have now. And I mean, I got to say, in terms of the who is a Carrie and who's a Miranda, whatnot, I mean, Carrie is a Carrie, I think, not just in name, but in life.
My namesake.
In, you know, style and all of it. Morgan, I would definitely label you as a Charlotte, which is the highest compliment. I love Charlotte. So, I mean, like, there's the maternal thing that Carrie mentioned, but it's just like your sensitivity and your emotions are so close to the surface, and you take such care of everyone around you.
Optimism.
Yeah. So that's, yeah.
As I was rewatching again, I was like this, I also thought, I'm like, oh my God, I'm Charlotte. And I think we all want to be Carrie. I want to be Carrie, but I'm a Charlotte.
Yeah.
And I have to be okay with that.
I think that's Charlotte to me is the one character that stayed herself in Just Like That.
Yeah.
She's the one really fully fleshed out character.
She really departs, though, dare I say, from how she handles Miranda's mom's death. The other, you know, reason it's called Motherboard, Miranda's mom dying.
Mm.
She is steps, throws herself into action, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But when Mr. Big dies, and just like that, she takes over. She's crying the yeah. whole time. So,
well, she didn't feel like she killed Miranda's mom, and she felt like she killed Big.
Killed Mr. Big.
No, and she certainly did. Didn't. He got what he deserved. May he rot in hell. But let's start with Carrie and Aiden in this episode, because you know, they've taken this big step. He's got a key to her apartment, which is rich considering that 20 years later and they reunite on and just like that. It's a huge deal that he can't even set foot into this place. And
can't even look at
it. Yeah, we're seeing all of his nurturing qualities, and we're also seeing that Carrie finds him kind of annoying.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to the Big versus Aiden thing, I always say, like, I'm going Aiden every time, but what I really prefer is Carrie single. But Aiden did show up for Miranda's mom's funeral in Philadelphia when Big couldn't even show up for Charlotte's daughter's recital a few blocks away, which I think is everything you need to know about those two men. But where are you at emotionally, Carrie, with Aiden then and now?
Well, it's like the hottest Aiden's ever been.
Definitely. Mm-hmm.
Preach.
In his full, like, swinger vibe. Mm-hmm. Like, he looks like a swinger.
Mm-hmm. He's very loosey. He's mm-hmm. loosey-goosey. Like, I was really into that.
He's deeply annoying, but, like, and I agree, Carrie kind of needs to just never find love.
She's at her best when she's just looking for it and never finding it.
She's at her best. She's the city. She's ephemeral. She's like, not, she's meant to just be, like, mercurial and not ever shifting. But, yeah, Aiden, I feel for him in this episode. Carrie's loves to, like, abuse him mm-hmm. emotionally.
He bought her a computer. He really tried.
He bought her a Mac in 1998 or whatever.
With a handle.
Yeah.
Travel handle. And a hard drive. A backup drive.
I don't like her. Like, I didn't like her, like, recoiling at his touch.
Mm-hmm. You mean when Miranda calls her?
Yeah. And also just, like, in the computer store when they're in, like, it looks like they're waiting at the DMV. Like, she's like, oh, don't touch.
Oh, right, right.
And it's so Carrie. It's so SJP that, you know, and, but then I'm also like, I get it. I'm like, Aiden, you're fucking annoying. Stop touching her.
He's so fucking annoying. And yeah, it you really see how prickly Carrie is in this episode. Like, these different moments with they're like, remind you that, like, she's a human too. She's not always so nice.
That Mac store, I'm just going to say, what is happening? There were open metal shelves behind that. Like, that was not, that's not the Genius Bar.
No. This was like pre-9/11.
It was so crazy. I didn't understand it. And I think it was technically supposed to be a Mac.
This is one of those off-brand places you go when you don't have the AppleCare plan or whatever.
Yeah
she didn't have the Apple. She let her thing, she didn't have it, the insurance.
I'm also, I always take it to a place of 9/11, but I'm like, I feel very like it haunts the show.
Oh yeah.
And like it harkens back to a time. So I'll even like this Mac bar moment, I'm like, things are just not a care in the world.
That's right,
these people.
Yeah.
And this is right before 9/11, I think. Yeah,
like it a year looms before. Over. Yeah.
I feel like the writing is on the wall a little bit when Carrie gets the call about Miranda's mom, and Aiden tries to kind of comfort her, but he doesn't fully know what to do. And you could tell she doesn't really want to. It's like she wants to be with Miranda. She doesn't want to be with him.
She turns the water on.
He's too in her business,
yeah.
Right? He's just too in her business. Yeah, she goes into the bathroom and turns on the sink water and sits on the bathtub.
She's as Mr. Big says in the last episode of the whole series, she's you're the love of her life,
mm-hmm.
you know, and these women are her true relationships.
Yeah.
And she doesn't need men.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. If you've ever listened to this podcast, you know I'm a huge fan of therapy. It's a big part of my life. Therapy is where I process a lot of the things that we talk about on this podcast. You know, stress about aging or career or navigating a breakup, whether it be romantic or an issue with friends. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Another reason I love therapy is that it helps me to recharge my social battery, especially as we're ramping up for summer. We're all going to be seeing a lot more friends and family. Some of us have, some introverted tendencies. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/likemat today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/likemat. Folks, sunnier days are a-coming. Summer's right around the corner. We're all on our wellness journeys, and I can think of no better way to kickstart your new healthy routine than with Factor Meals. And right now, if you go to factormeals.com/likemat50 and use our code likemat50, you'll get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next month while your subscription's active. So with Factor Meals, there are 35 different meal options, more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week, so you've always got new flavors to explore. You can make your day delicious from breakfast to dessert, everything in between. You'll stay fueled with easy, nutritious options. I'm talking filet mignon. I'm talking shrimp. I'm talking blackened salmon. And Factor Meals are ready in 2 minutes, so no shopping, no prepping, no cooking, no cleanup. Head to factormeals.com right now. Go to factormeals.com/likemat50 and use code likemat50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code likemat50 at factormeals.com/likemat50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active.
This is the strangest, darkest story. I don't know why. Let's we should cut this it. Out.
Talk about 9/11, Matt.
This is my 9/11 was when I was living in this apartment in my 20s, and I was so broke, and I started running this like scam basically where it was like in that time of your life when like everybody just starts moving to LA from New York, and mm-hmm. so my friends were mm-hmm. starting to need to come out kind of quickly and for short periods of time, and I would rent out my own bedroom to my friends, and then I made my own bedroom in what was essentially a nook where the dining room table was supposed to be, and I put a futon in there and hung a curtain, and so I was like, well, I'm now basically making money to live in my apartment, and I'm living with my best friends, and there's more people here. It's all fun. And so there would be a lot of nights where there were like a lot of people hanging out in my two-bedroom apartment. Different people would bring guys home or whatever. And I was sleeping in the nook one night with a guy that I was dating who had some Aiden qualities, especially the sort of annoying ones we're talking about here. Was so nice.
You mean nurturing? Nurturing?
Yeah, I don't care for that in a man.
Caretaking.
And
attentive.
We were wakened by the news that a friend who was staying with me, her mom died. And there was this like sudden eruption. Another friend shows up. Like everyone's crying. And I'm just like stumbling out of bed, hungover. I don't know what is happening. And I get the news really abruptly and they leave. And it's just like a bomb went off. And I start crying, of course. And this guy looked at me and sort of like took me by the shoulders and looked at me really alarmed. He goes, "Okay, you need to breathe." And I was just like, "Oh, we're done. We're done."
No.
That was the end.
Out of here.
Everything about that approach is wrong. Why is this high-fiving?
Oh, Renee wants to raise her hand. Like it. Or high-five us. I don't know.
That is terrorism.
Yeah, see, it is my 9/11.
Allow you. Your partner should allow you to be crazy in a moment, or like allow you to like come undone.
And all you need to do is just say,
"It's okay."
You were just having feelings that were appropriate because you love your friend.
Yeah.
And then this person
grabs
you by the shoulders. In what world is that comforting?
Get out of my life. I'm so triggered right now.
It was so clearly the end for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so when Miranda's mom dies, I mean, first of all, Cynthia Nixon deserves every Emmy she ever got. Oh, I'm sure her Emmy came right after this. It had to. It's just like perfect performance, tip to tail.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Perfect.
I'm crazy for her. Just even how she was handling the woman in the changing room.
Oh.
And then she had that turn where she realized she's yelling at the sales clerk, like she would yell at her mom. Yeah, Lucille.
Yeah.
She's yelling at her mom. Lucille was her mom for a moment.
Yeah.
And it's as much as I do appreciate and just like that, it does make me sad that this Miranda is no longer there.
Yeah.
Miranda, who is so funny and like the original kind of edgelord New Yorker and just like so cynical, but also like just so real and raw and like just gets it. And like even in her moments of like despair is like not, and she's become this like goofy old woman, you know, this like, and it's just, it really bums me out that they did away with, not to like, I mean, I love the right, you know,
yeah.
Praise be to the writers forever, but like, can we just have this Miranda back?
Please? I'm with you.
It's not. Oh, go ahead.
No, it's just, yeah, she's that Lucille scene, even at the end of it, when you're like, I'm ready for full catharsis. Like, let's just sob into Lucille's bosom. And Miranda does give her a hug and she cries a little bit, but then she pulls back and is like, okay, let's not get too sentimental. She stays herself. But I keep saying, I feel like after the current and just like that Miranda journey, I feel like we're entering into an era of like a return to classic Miranda. Now she's out of the closet. She's gay. She's dating women. She's gotten rid of Che. She's gotten rid of Steve. I feel like we're going to get back to the Miranda we know and love. It's just the difference is that she's going to be dating women instead.
I hope so.
I want to just compliment the writers too, because that is a real predicament, the not knowing your own bra size. That is legit, that's realistic. I feel like we all go through it where we think we're one thing and we're not, and you do need a Lucille to get in there and feel around and wrap something around you and tell you. So I really got
we that. We couldn't have the Lucille scene today because she just barges in and starts grabbing Miranda's boobs, which is
really
what we need to
there.
Happen, but it would be considered assault today. But, you know, speaking of it just like that, one of the great things about going back to these episodes after spending so much time with And Just Like That is doing the kind of detective work of, like, what other characters can we bring back in season three of the show? Because I see myself as, like, an unwanted researcher for the writers there. But Miranda has this judgmental sister played by the great Becky Ann Baker. Like, that's a character I'd definitely like to see come back.
I love that she's from Philadelphia. I love that I'm sure she's from like the sort of like waspy upper crust part of Philly, like the main line area. So that's what I was seeing. So it tracks that like her sister's kind of cold and domineering. Miranda can't really express emotions because I'm sure her, you know, they're very like stiff upper lip family.
That the intro to Philly or the representation though were the two guys that like ogle Samantha.
Yeah.
And they're like, I don't know, haggard.
Yeah. I'm not fucking them, you know.
Yes. Even though I want my orgasm back, I'm not going that low.
Yeah, let's talk about Samantha, because while everyone's, you know, scrambling to figure out how to react, Carrie's trying, she's saying all the wrong things, and Charlotte is, you know, focused on being perfectly appropriate, and Samantha's chasing her orgasm with the wrestling coach, alarmingly hot.
Yeah, I was like really into that. I was like, I want those.
Yeah. But what did you think about the way grief and specifically the way friends react to it was depicted here?
Really great.
Great. Next question. Morgan, how about you?
I was confused because in the beginning, when Samantha finds out, I was like, oh, she's clearly impacted by the death of Miranda's mom. She's not calling her. Charlotte keeps saying, call her. And she's not. And I thought, okay, well, Samantha's really feeling this. But then she really leans into 1001 sex positions. And then it really becomes the loss of her orgasm. And so I was like, maybe I'm reading it wrong and she doesn't care. And then, of course, like that, I cried. That's when I cried, was the moment in the funeral when Miranda turns around and she locks with Samantha.
Yeah.
And Samantha says, I'm sorry.
Oh, my God.
Like, I have a lump in my throat right now.
I know.
And the way Cynthia played that of just like,
it's okay.
Thank you. Like, it was like, she gets that it's hard for Samantha to say that. And she's like being tender with her in that moment. being
yeah
late.
Because they don't tell us that Miranda is missing Samantha, right? We're not really getting that on the surface, but in that moment you realize the depth of their friendship for sure. And like the flowers also.
Oh my God, you know, that was so my mom. Like when Charlotte's sitting there like shaking her head, being like hyper fixating on like how it looks.
Yeah,
that's like I could literally see my mom in church being like, God damn. You know what I mean? It's such a, and it's so, and it is like, that's the way she loves, you know, like that's her way of like loving.
What happened? I don't know.
That's the way that she loves Miranda, is like doing that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love that I love when her sister is like, yeah, there they are. And they're like the size of like a truck.
Oh God.
And she's like, they said they would be tasteful.
Yeah.
Which feels, you know, because Samantha's first reaction is also like, great, tell me where to send the check for the flowers. So that's sort of her only contribution. And then later, hard to not see the connection later on. And then just like that, when Big dies, and obviously Samantha doesn't come to the funeral and sends the perfect
flowers.
Centerpiece. And, you know, Charlotte doesn't get it right, but like, boy, does Samantha get it right in Big's funeral.
So tasteful.
It's the same. I kept thinking like, what a beautiful way for them to connect the two series. The latter, of course, being my favorite.
Sure.
Just like
yeah.
And underrated, one of my underrated favorite Carrie lines is when the priest is like, we can't know what death is like. And she's like, can't you just make something up?
Yeah.
I was like,
you're not
so
spiritual. You're not. Yes.
I was like, okay, Carrie, I love that moment. And like, that was like, ugh, the writer comes out. She's just like thinking of this monologue being like, how could I edit this?
Yeah.
She calls him a hack, right?
Yeah.
She's like, oh, this
for
guy's
spiritual
a hack.
Leader.
Yeah. And he was a hack.
Oh, he was a hack. He sucked. And we've all been there. I love when he says Miranda's her brother's wife. And Miranda goes.
And he says it like three times.
Yeah, more than once. You know,
because there can't be a single woman at the funeral.
God, no. And it also struck me that, you know, when this moment happens and Samantha, like the floodgates open and Carrie's voiceover is like, she was crying about things she didn't even know she needed to cry about, but we're never fully told what that is. Obviously, there's just like her grief for her friend Miranda. And that's beautiful on its own because anytime we're reminded that they have their own connections and friendships that don't just revolve around Carrie, that feels so special. But it's also like something more is going on for Samantha. Like there's other things that are ungrieved.
100%. Where's Samantha's mother? I'm just curious.
Yeah.
Because it seems like the death of the mother triggered it. And then she's looking for an escape.
Yeah.
Right? She's like, she just wants to be unconscious, but using sex. She's like trying to get out of herself. I just wonder.
I mean, I might be going too far into it, but I was thinking like
impossible.
Samantha, I think she has some difficulties with mortality.
Yes.
And I mean, there's that whole where she like is the only one that's never gotten like an HIV test, and like she like puts it off because she's just like, I can't.
Yeah.
And you know, and
you're 100% right. That is it.
And I think she's older than the other women. She's like 10 years older than the other girls. So she's just like, I think she's like entering her like middle age era, and she's like, so I was seeing it as her being like, oh fuck, like people actually die.
Yeah.
And I think, and then when she actually gets her breast cancer plot line, like that is sort of her reckoning with like her, you know, I think she's lived sort of like putting off depth, and like, and I think this is with Smith and her cancer, and it's like a reckoning with herself. It's amazing.
It is. We talked recently about that episode where Carrie doesn't have enough money to buy her apartment, and Charlotte eventually gives her her engagement ring to help her get the money. That one always strikes a nerve because it's such a relatable topic, because sometimes that paycheck just doesn't seem to come quick enough. But look, life doesn't happen biweekly, so why should payday? The money you earn can be in your hands today with Earnin'. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app, you verify your paycheck, then you access up to $100 a day as you work, leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I know I've got my husband's birthday coming up. I want to give him a nice gift. He's a man who likes the nicer things in life. So that's certainly how I would use the extra money I'd get from Earnin. Download Earnin today. It's EARNIN in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Just Like Matt under podcast when you sign up. It'll really help the show. That's Just Like Matt under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
And that's so well said. How are you dealing with your own grief around her absence in a Just Like That?
Me? Yeah. It's hard. It's really hard. Like I her cameo was like, oh boy. Mm. As we recap that on my podcast and we say her cameo was literally her going, hello, goodbye.
Yeah. Which was almost worse than not seeing her.
She goes to Paris. Yeah, because Carrie goes to her city. And they don't see her.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really was. It made it. It was like kind of like I'd almost rather not see her. It's too painful. Unless she's going to come back. Should her get off the pot? And at this point, I'm angry at Kim a little. Mm-hmm. Because I respect her not wanting to do anything where she's not enjoying herself for even a minute. And I love that she's at this point in her life where she's like, I don't want to be in this role. I don't, you know, whatever. But I'm like, we need her. Our country needs her.
Exactly. Like, we all have to do things we don't want to do right now.
Yeah.
What if Kim is more Samantha than we realized? Like, she totally can't face it. She can't face what is, because doing and, you know, living in a new chapter of this is revisiting what isn't anymore, right?
Yeah.
What's past. So maybe it is, she doesn't want to be confronted with her mortality.
Totally. And the one part of it, I'm with you, Carrie. I'm like, I want Kim Cattrall to live her best life, but I have so much trouble believing in my bones. I don't believe that she doesn't want to play Samantha. It's like, it's even that cameo, as tough as it was, and so it's like she is coming alive in a way that like she's not really coming alive in other roles she's playing. I don't think she doesn't want to play Samantha. I think she wants recognition and respect that she always deserved, and she is getting with people, you know, calling for her return. I'm just like, I still believe that we can reach a level where she finally understands and some kind of healing takes place. I say the same thing every week on this podcast. I'm sorry.
You don't think she's like slated to come in season 3 and just blow our minds?
I hope to God.
Yeah.
Even if it's just her separate plot line of her living in London. Mm-hmm. Like but even you're right. Even in that, there's one moment where she's like, oh, I'm fucking furious. And I was just like, oh my God, that's Samantha.
That's her.
She's still there. Kim still loves this character. And Carrie and her, even though they acted, Sarah Jessica and her were not acting in the same place at all. I was like, damn, if they don't have chemistry.
Exactly. I was like,
oh my God,
sparks are
phone.
Flying. They're not even talking to each other, but I feel it.
They might 100%. Hate each other, but they have electric friend chemistry.
Exactly.
And it's like they are meant to be on-screen besties.
Yeah, and I do feel like you, given the world that we live in right now, like you owe it to us to give your gifts, give what you can, you know.
Absolutely.
We need friends where duty. We can find them. It's so true. Guys, I've become very attached to them. I mean, the second I think I texted you, Matt, when I first started and Just Like That and went, oh my God. Like, I could not believe right away what I was watching, because I'm not a prude. Like, I understand sex and people doing things, touching each other and whatnot.
Do you? It sounds like it's a new idea, the way
bodies doing in space, touching. But like this show, I would say even the reboot really takes some time with these moments like getting in the pants and touching things
and
doing.
Oh, just, I mean,
Like, they're not cutting right out. They're really leaving us there for an uncomfortable
time. I mean, they went, they did, they were doing shit that was wild. Like, for, you know, and then, like, I think it's so HBO.
It's so old school, the right HBO.
Taxi cab confession.
HBO we need. Yes.
But, no, they're...
Not the Home Improvement HBO.
No. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it is weird. There was a point in Just Like That where I was like, where's the sex?
Right.
And then they brought it.
Then they brought season two. Okay, they were like, here we go. You wanted it here.
But also, can I say that I was watching Carrie walk out of the subway in that like long coat. I was like, these are the outfits that she needs to be wearing. Carrie would not, I'm sorry, not to like, no shame on this like stylist, but Carrie would not be wearing like big frou-frou like nutcracker dresses. She would be wearing,
you're like, talking about what she's wearing in it, Just Like That.
Yeah she's just really now versus now.
But she would, the Carrie I know wears like a wife beater and like bell bottoms or like boot cut jeans, and like,
or the short shorts with the tie-dye tank and the trench and then the brown bowler hat, like the opening. She's really giving the people what they want. And And Just Like That, I still think she looks beautiful.
Sarah Jessica's gorge. I'm just saying, like, it just feels, feels more like SJP would wear, not what Carrie would wear.
But she's also in her 50s. Carrie's not the Carrie that we knew then anymore, you know? It's like, do you really want the Carrie in her 50s?
Let's be feminist right now. And a woman can wear, can wear a halter top. In her 60s.
That's right.
If she wants.
It'll be brave.
Or her late 50s.
But she can do it.
That's what I was going to, I mean, dare I say, bring this up, Carrie, about your resistance to the new Miranda. Do you guys just want to punch me through the computer screen because you know that I'm new to the party?
No, I love this.
Okay. I'm wondering if there is a baked in resistance to us, you know, socially, to a woman who is, I know that she is now like, this is how I live on my terms. I leave my husband. I do my blah. Like, I think she even says and Just Like That, like the 35-year-old me wouldn't have done this thing. The 56-year-old me does. So there is a real departure. Is it that, or is it just the way that they're doing it? You feel like they're not letting her be free enough.
I was like, Morgan, you got me. Internalized misogyny. I'm not just like saying this to be like, I'm really woke, but like I'm
you are woke.
Thank you. But I'm all about, like, I love that their age where they're at now. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying it's more the way they're, it's like her choices don't feel like this Miranda that we all like knew. Like Miranda, mm-hmm, to me felt like it just seems like the new Miranda is just like, oh, like, what are these things? And like, what are these? It's like Miranda would be like, oh, okay, about like gender stuff. And like, she would be not making a big deal about it. Yeah. She wouldn't be so like, wow, like, what is that? And like, Miranda would just be like, yeah, okay, cool. Like, I don't really care, you know? And I
100% hear that, actually. You just drove it home for me.
And people change. And like, I like that she's like on this gay, she's like found her gay truth. And I love that she and Steve made amends and just like that. Like, I like it, that feels like realistic. People grow apart. It's like, that's what happens. But it's just the way that they're, and again, I'm not trying to like knock the writers because I'm like, hire me. But I'm also like, but I'm just like, it just feels like they need, it almost is like, I wish they could go back and like remember who this person is, like rediscover her, because this doesn't feel like her.
I don't disagree. I guess the argument is that like, there are friends that I have now that when I think back to who they were 20 years ago, sometimes I'm like, I don't recognize you. Like, this isn't who you, like that part does feel real. Like that someone chooses to blow up her life in middle age because she's been in such a deep rut, like professionally and her family life and her sexuality and all of it.
Guys, yeah. I'm right here.
Just saying, there are some people where you're like, wake up, Morgan. You're a lesbian. And when you realize that, everything will... No. But Yeah, I think that I don't know. I have a feeling we're gonna return to the hard charging Miranda we remember in season three.
No, we have glimpses of it, and they're like glimpses of that, like, because Miranda's always like, to me, Miranda always was like facing. She was like the real New Yorker. Like, she was sort of like, all the other ones were sort of living like this fantastical New York life. Miranda was like a lawyer. She was tired. She was eating like Chinese takeout all the time and just like always, and humiliating things were happening. And as someone that lived in New York and was constantly humiliated, like, I was like, okay, I feel this the most. So I feel like there are moments of that and just like that where she's sort of like our, almost like our proxy.
Yeah.
I think that's why I feel so, because she was sort of like the audience buy-in was Miranda, actually, not Carrie, because Carrie's not realistic.
Well, it's like that archetypal TV writing thing where you have your central person and then the people on the side of that character are more extreme versions. It's like in Frasier, you have, you know, the Frasier's like the most uptight. When he's in Cheers, you're like, that's the most uptight person there could ever, ever be. But then they do a spinoff and you meet David Hyde Pierce, who's like the more extreme Frasier. And he's bookended by his dad, who's like this blue collar person. So it's, and then I really feel like, even as a newcomer and watching Carrie, these, it's like all these characters are born out of her marrow. You know, it's like they're extreme parts of her. So she is sort of the watered down version of, I mean, that I feel like fans are going to kill me.
No, they are. There are people who think, I saw a theory that Carrie's in a coma and all these women are her, like, they're all like her delusions.
Yeah. And just like that is all like a coma dream.
Yeah. Like a Vanilla Sky, like, simulation. Oh my God. Kind of looks like that.
Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, and that would explain the absence of Samantha in a, you know, in a way that we could just undo like that. And just like that, she could wake up.
Yeah.
Everything's back.
Yeah.
Back the way we remember it.
That's going to happen. There, she's going to say, and just like that, Samantha was home. Like, that's going to happen. That soundbite's going to happen.
I know.
Well, she's going to be at her doorstep. Honey, are you going to let me in or what?
That is the...
I have dildos for you from Europe.
Just got off the plane from Heathrow in London.
Carrie O'Donnell, Morgan Walsh, I adore you both. This was just a necessary... summit and conversation. So yes. Thank you both.
Thank you for having me.
That was incredible. Thank you.
Mwah. And that's our show. Please do give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and follow us on Instagram at And Just Like Matt Pod. And Just Like Matt is a World of Wonder production created and hosted by me, Matt McConkie. Our executive producer is Renee Colvert. Our associate producer is Jess Walensky. And our audio engineer is Justin Mattson. Many thanks to Michael Pressman and everyone at World of Wonder.